This is the Stinking Truth.
AFC North. We'll work on that. AFC North.
We don't need to work on that. They need to work on it.
Yeah. What do you
what
need,
do
to,
I
work
need to work on it for?
Why don't they impress you rather than you impressing
them over there?
All right. AFC North. Mm-hmm. I think with Baltimore, can Lamar Jackson overcome his playoff demons? It's as simple as that now, right? He has nothing left to prove in the regular season. But he has everything left to prove in the postseason.
Lost in the AFC Championship game last year against Kansas City, put up, 10 points? Kansas City scored 17 points, and they lost. With the league MVP playing quarterback, you can only produce. Now, they had the fumble on the goal line, but you can only produce 10 points. Hey, man, think about this. John Harbaugh has been there now 16 years. He's the second longest tenured coach in football behind Mike Tomlin. They've been in the playoffs 11 of those 16 years. They've got one Super Bowl win, which was like in early in his career with Baltimore. This is Super Bowl or bust for Lamar Jackson. And he definitely improved. He's improved every year as a thrower. And Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator, I think they did a great job working together. You look at Baltimore, man. They got to run the ball. They got to keep Lamar Jackson viable in the run game. They went out and got Derrick Henry, which is a beast. But in that AFC Championship game, their running backs had 6 carries, Mike. How does your running backs get 6? And I know they had a bunch of injuries and everything else, but how are you giving them 6 carries and just basically saying Lamar beat everybody from the pocket, which Lamar's never, that's not been, it's just not been the way they've been wired, or the way they've been created. So, you get in a tight playoff game and basically you abandon everything you do and say, go win it, Lamar. That was questionable coaching-wise. But, that's where we are with Baltimore. Some defensive changes. They've lost their defensive coordinator. Anthony Weaver was on their staff. He went to be a coordinator. They had another guy leave their staff to go be a coordinator. So a bunch of changes on the defensive side of the ball for the Baltimore Ravens. That's going to be a big question mark. My former teammate, tight end Terry Orr, his son is now the defensive coordinator. I think he got elevated from a linebacker coach to the defensive coordinator. So this will be his first time calling plays. It'll be interesting to see exactly kind of what they look like on the defensive side of the ball.
Is it a stretch for me to say that the two players with the most pressure on them this season are Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson? Is that a stretch?
Lamar's got 2 MVPs, so I don't...
Okay, but how is greatness ultimately defined?
How many championships you have,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It's by what you do in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so, until he proves it in the playoffs, especially because of what he's done in the regular season, who's got more pressure on him?
Yeah, he's got... Well, when it comes to playoff time, there's nobody... When the playoffs start... There's not going to be anybody that has more playoff pressure than Lamar. 100%.
Cincinnati. Is it as simple as keep Burrow in a bubble?
Yeah.
Protect that man at all costs.
Put him in bubble wrap. It's like, was it Little Giants that, they had the one kid, they put him in bubble wrap, his mom did, because they didn't want to get hurt. Like, that's
what you want to do with him.
That dude had wrist surgery in like November. They did find out about their Browning, their backup quarterback, right? He did play pretty well and earn himself kind of a...
But that
whole organization under Zach Taylor is about Joe Burrow and spread offense and shotgun. And now they lost their running back. He left, and that dude Mixon was really good. So they've replaced him with Zach Moss. It's all about their 3 wide receivers and Higgins and Chase that's what it's about for them. And again, built in a fashion to me that, for my small pea brain doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Like, hey, it's all about our quarterback. So let's make sure we just get him all kinds of weapons. This may be the last year of having all those weapons together. But, you know, protection? Ah, what the hell? Who cares? You know, we're gonna move on from protection. So that's a thing that scares me a little bit about how they're built. I'm not a big fan. They go they got Boyd and they went out and got Mike Gesicki as well, who is, he might as well be a wide receiver, right? He's not gonna block anybody. So here's my thought process on spread teams. From a protection standpoint, the more spread we play, the more exotic blitz they play, because they got 4-3 guys on the field and you got fat offensive linemen on the field. So my principle here is, when it comes to protection, let's get fat. Let's get as big and fat as possible to get more big and fat defensive players on the football field, because now this is science. I've studied this. Skinny people run faster than fat people.
No way. Yes. Really?
Yes. Skinny people run faster. Fat people run into you. Skinny people run around you. I want fat people on the field as much as possible. And they're not constructed that way. That scares me a little bit about Cincinnati.
Cleveland. I guess it's as simple as this. It's now or never for Deshaun Watson. Are you going to get back to being the guy you were?
Yeah.
I think back with Deshaun Watson, because when it became apparent that Houston was going to trade him, I remember the conversations that were going on around all NFL cities, because we were having them here in Denver. And people were casually throwing out, oh, I'd give up 5 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. That's how highly he was thought of. And now to see where he's at now, do you see him being able to get back to that level when everybody coveted him?
Yeah, last year he had a fractured shoulder. He had surgery on his fractured shoulder. He only played 6 games. I think he played 6 games in 2022, 6 games last year. And the suspension, just all the legal trouble and legal issues. And let's face it, they were better when he was gone. I mean, they played 5 different quarterbacks. They got Flacco in November and took him on a 4-game win streak in December. There's no question about the talent on their roster. No question about the talent on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they are Myles Garrett is I would not do this podcast with a shirt on if I look like Myles Garrett.
No,
I would be shirtless.
Just walk around
just
without
shirtless
a shirt.
Shirtless at all times.
All times.
Yeah.
Why not?
Come get a taste.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come get a look. and then I think Za'Darius Smith on the other side is outstanding. Like, they are loaded. I love some of the, you know, some of the moves they have made. But again, it comes down to, you're 100% right. It all comes down to Deshaun Watson. What does he become? And then can he become that with a question mark at the running back position? Because I can't imagine Chubb being ready to play. I mean, Ford is a nice, Ford's a nice player. Dante Foreman's a nice player. They've got some nice players, but It'll be really interesting. Then, you know, I mean, Stefanski brings in, I think Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator, who was fired last year. Remember, he was fired last year in Buffalo, and then Joe Brady took over as a coordinator in Buffalo. So Alex Van Pelt leaves. He goes to New England. Dorsey comes in hopes that, you know, Dorsey's going to work with Deshaun Watson, like he worked with Cam Newton and Josh Allen. And you know, I mean, so although Stefanski's been the play caller there forever. By the way, Stefanski, this is the start of his 5th year as the head coach of Cleveland. The longest tenured coach since guess who in Cleveland? Started his 5th year.
I'm going to say Bill Belichick.
100%.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, 91 through 95. Yeah. He's the long. Can you imagine? The longest tenured head coach since Bill Belichick. Dude, that is...
Well, But when you've been a factory of suck for a long time, right?
Factory of sadness.
Going to be reflected in your coach's tenure.
I love the fact they went out and got Jordan Hicks as a, you know, as a starting middle linebacker. Owusu-Koramoah, I think that's how you say his name. He can play. But do we just call him J-O-K? I like that, huh?
I like that.
Makes
so
it
it's all about Deshaun Watson.
It is.
He's going to have people to throw to.
No, there ain't.
Including your buddy, Jerry Jeudy.
I'm not allowed to talk about Jerry Jeudy. So I got in trouble. Jerry's going to be great.
Let's just say Mark was a little bit too
honest.
Too honest and too truthful. Too raw.
Right.
About Jerry Jeudy.
Cooper, I just saw an article. Cooper wants a new contract.
Of course he does.
You know, he's the first receiver in Cleveland Browns history to have back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
He's been really good for them.
He really has.
I can understand why he's looking at it like, wait a minute, you've had Jerry Jeudy. You didn't even have Jerry Jeudy for like 5 minutes, and you gave him a new deal. The bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about
I want
me?
A new deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we saved the best for last. Who knows where this one's going to go, but Pittsburgh. Does Russell Wilson, Mark, get the last laugh? And what will that last laugh sound like?
I don't know. I got Wolverine blood. Who knows? Like, I mean, I love, first off, I love Arthur Smith being there. Like, if anybody is going to get the best out of either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, I feel like it's Arthur Smith if he can allow himself to go back to running the ball and running the RPO game and running the quarterback zone read stuff and making the quarterback involved in that. Because I think the play action stuff that comes off of that, the run pass option stuff that comes off of that, I think Russ or Justin Fields could be very, they could be efficient in running that. Now, like if you want to truly run it, I think Justin Fields is a better option because he's more apt to run it 10 times a game, right? And add that element to it where Russ probably isn't going to do that. But it'll be interesting to see exactly kind of how this plays out. Yeah, we all feel like Russ is going to get the first crack, first opportunity. But there is a part of you that just feels like, will he be able to maintain that? So that'll be interesting to see. George Pickens is outstanding, as you well know. I think Freiermuth is a big-time tight end. They've got the two running backs, and Najee Harris is really good. What's the other kid's name?
Jalen Warren.
Yeah, Jalen Warren can really play. So I think they're built. Mm-hmm. I think they're built the right way. Obviously, defensively, Cam Hayward had a groin injury like week one last year, and that slowed him down quite a bit, but T.J. Watt had 19 sacks last year. I like Alex Highsmith on the other side. Went out and got Patrick Queen, paid him a bunch of money to play middle linebacker for them. So they've got talent. Fitzpatrick needs to come back and have a rebound season. Didn't get an interception or force a fumble last year for pretty much the first time in his career. So he needs to kind of bounce back. But I like their football team in general. Just a lot of questions about their quarterback position and what that offense is going to tend to look like.
All right, so Pittsburgh fans, you've probably already now gotten a sense of Russell Wilson and his relentless optimism.
Mm-hmm.
You've at times called it toxic positivity.
Right.
What would be your message? Your warning to Steeler fans when it comes to what you think Russ's limitations are.
I think honestly that. Russ has been sold a bill of goods by the people he surrounds himself with that the teams that he's on have limited him. And I think you need to come to grips, all players need to come to grips with what they're good at and what they're not good at. Probably more importantly, what you're not good at. And you know, Russ, historically, you look at just the amount of sacks he takes. Probably on average, he's taking 45 sacks a year. Now, you think about how that limits you as an offense. Okay, this is a big issue for Russ and the Steelers. You take 45 sacks a year, say roughly 3 sacks a game. you got essentially 12 possessions on offense per game. And if you take a sack in a possession, it eliminates almost, I mean, it gives you about a 12 to 18% chance of actually scoring any points on that drive. It essentially eliminates the drive. Like you've got essentially no chance if you take a sack. So you effectively say, okay, in 12 drives, let's say the average score in the NFL is about 20, what points?
23, 24 maybe.
Okay, so you're saying of 12 drives, you've scored three touchdowns and a field goal essentially.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So you've scored on four drives. Yep. So you've scored on what, a third of your drives, right? Now all of a sudden we say, all right, each sack takes away a drive. So now we've taken it from 12 potential drives down to 9 potential drives, right? And now if we're only scoring on a third of those, instead of four, you're down to what?
Maybe two touchdowns and a field goal.
Right.
Now you're down to 17 or 21 points.
Yeah, and so it just the amount that sacks just crush you as an offense. And this is a guy that will constantly, either because of height and the short passing game has really become prominent in the National Football League. Well, you think about the short passing game, you're sitting in gun, right? Or you're sitting in you're taking a three-step drop. The D line is pushing the O-line to you. You lose vision when you're shorter. And his propensity to not throw it to the open guy because he either doesn't see him or he doesn't like it, and pull the ball and take sacks. It is, when I talk to the guys in Seattle, they'd say, hey, man, 35, 40% of all the sacks we give up are on Russ. And if you talk to Sean Payton, he would tell you the same thing, maybe more are on Russ. So it's an issue. We'll see exactly. But it was an issue for Justin Fields as well. Not only was their O-line not great last year in Chicago, we've clearly documented that on this podcast because I don't know anybody on their offense.
Right.
Clearly, we've documented that.
All right, so in the NFC North, you had a Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota.
Yeah.
How about your AFC North pecking order?
I'm going to go Baltimore, Cincy, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
And who makes the playoffs?
Baltimore, Cincy.
Okay. Good job.
All right, buddy.